week we're going to talk the wonderful world of sketch comedy. But before we get there, yes, meet our SNL alum. We have Wesley.
Hey, at least I'll probably have a longer run on this show than Chris Rock did. But that's another story entirely.
He has a good career.
He had a very short run on SNL for reasons that are very detailed in Live from New York.
We have Trent.
I have not read Live from New York, but I hear it's a good read.
Very much a good read.
And we have Nicholas.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
Croissants. But yes.
Nobody else listened to Yeezus, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I did, but I don't know. The new J. Cole album is better.
Who?
Oh, that's good.
No, who?
No, J. Cole.
I don't know who that is.
Well, go to your iTunes.
Anyhow, this isn't the music podcast, this is the sketch comedy show. And this actually came about because we folks are talking about Dave Chappelle and his return to comedy before the show, and I figured, you know, with the Chappelle Show, SNL, Matt D being a whole long line of sketch comedies, it would be nice to talk about. I mean, it's really not related to anything in particular. SNL is off, it's on summer break. What do you call hiatus? No, what do you call it?
Summer break.
Summer break.
Summer break. Okay.
Season's over. Do they start the season again in the summer? I mean, at the end of the summer.
Fall. I thought they started. Well, either way.
Depends, different shows start different times, but yeah.
Yeah, but SNL usually starts in like October, but I think.
Late September or early October.
Okay, one of those two.
Lazy bitches.
Which is really odd, because you would think summer would be a good time with all the movies coming out to have those people appear on the show. But neither here nor there. So, I mean, I guess we can start with SNL. It's the big one. It's the one that's been around the longest. It's the one that has launched the career of 1,000 comedians across the world.
That's the show that pretty much, Chris Rock joke of saying, Chris Rock actually, that's where, because Chris Rock went from SNL to a short run on Living Color, and then just hit the stratosphere from there. And
then he just kind of came back down where he starred in Grown Ups 2.
Yeah, that's a special case entirely. But, I mean, and like, SNL probably has like, the cast members, pretty much, it's like you have people from like Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, all. I mean, the dearly departed Phil Hartman.
You can't forget Kenan Thompson.
That still makes me sad.
Chevy Chase.
An asshole on Chevy Chase. Oh, Live from New York has the best Chevy Chase stories.
Oh,
ever.
God, yeah.
They have
the one where him and Bill Murray get in a fist fight just because Chevy is a giant douchebag.
Bill Murray.
Chevy Chase. Bill Murray just because he was talking shit.
Like, Chevy Chase was the biggest pain. Every time he guest hosted, he was the biggest pain in the ass. Like, especially that one time he came back and he was like, oh. Because, though, Chevy Chase actually has admitted now, it's like, I regret leaving SNL when I did. I was stupid.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure everyone else on SNL was really friggin' happy.
Yeah, they were happy, but he was stupid because he was for, yeah, it's a detailed story, but Chevy Chase was an idiot for leaving, and then he was an idiot for getting an ego, because my God, that man got an ego in the 80s. Man, good God, that man got an ego.
He keeps it apparently from what he said on the community cast, so.
Yeah,
Chevy Chase, you've mentioned a couple of people. I mean, some people have gone into great stardom, and other people have just
kind of
hung around and disappeared.
It's amazing to see, like, say how Bill Murray, like, the character actor of the Almighty now, who can do pretty much any kind of movie he wants to, and also has enough clout to be able to pick and choose his roles by a voicemail he has.
Yeah, he has an 800 number people call.
Yeah, 800 number, and he checks in frequently.
Yeah, it's partially from the SNL days, and partially because in the 80s, he was king shit of Fuck Mountain when it came to comedy movies. He was the Tywin Lannister of comedy.
he ruled comedy. I mean, he could pick and choose whatever roles he wanted, and he could do it. And into the 90s, he had a good chunk of that, too. And of course, I always love this, like, most, he always admits, like, yeah, most of the movies I did, they were just kind of movies I liked doing. Like, the one movie he'll admit he made for money, he said, Charlie's Angels. That was his money movie. He'll own up to that sucker in a 5 second flat that I made that movie for money.
It happened.
It was
happened.
Easy money.
And a terrible
but,
movie
I mean,
show.
And yes, and of course, and then but other people, I mean, it's like, and the reason I also bring up Phil Hartman, because that's the one that's tragic. Like, that's so sad. I would have loved to have seen where he would have gone, because he still had a lot of viable career, and it's a damn shame he died when he did. That was one of those, when I remember that happening, I was like, shit, no, that's terrible. And it's like, because one of his last movie roles was Small Soldiers.
It's just a decent kids movie.
Yeah, I know, but Small Soldiers.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is probably out. Who do you think had the most success and the least success with this show?
From who? Most success out of the people who were on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes! Actually, that can be valid now.
That's
well,
a bullshit
answer,
but it's time.
It's valid now!
Actually, you know what? Either Bill Murray or Will Ferrell.
Do you watch do you ever watch The Escapist magazine and No Right Answer? They actually did an episode about that, basically comparing Bill Murray and Will Ferrell and who had the most successful career. And pretty much by the end of the episode, it was Bill Murray, because they said, yeah, Will Ferrell's had a killer freaking career, but Bill Murray's just a notch above what Will Ferrell right now.
He's Bill fucking Murray.
He is. But though Tina Fey's had a hell of a damn career too.
See, I think if you went by money, it would probably be like someone like Adam Sandler or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Like that. But
though, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is a valid answer now. That's hilarious. It's like by money, it's like, well, he was only on SNL for a season.
But he has $2 billion films now.
But he has $2 billion films now. So. Yeah, we have brought, finally, Nicholas, you have brought up the ultimate thing. Someone could say, who's most successful Saturday Night member? Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes.
And then half the people would say, wait, he was on Saturday Night Live?
Mm-hmm. They just don't know.
I remember the first time I saw an episode of his, and I went, oh, man.
Yeah, they weren't great.
They were horrible.
They were the opposite of great.
Well,
that was the season where SNL nearly got canceled. Because it's always funny how you think about the SNL canceled at one point because the ratings were going and they had no idea what to do with it. But the only reason why they won't cancel is like, but then we have to get that. Of course, that's when you got the cool season, the crazy season of having like Martin Short, Billy Crystal, and all those people on an SNL cast, and that was an interesting freaking season.
Yeah. I mean, I guess kind of moving off of SNL for now. The other big one that kind of popped up.
Yeah, you could actually do an entire podcast on SNL. You can.
Yeah. One that popped up as a challenger in the mid-90s, I guess, was Matt TV.
Oh, boy.
Do you really want to call it a challenger? It was it was not a challenger. It was a, hey, guys, look at our thing when you're tired of watching. Hey, oh, we're still on the air? Oh.
They stayed on for 14 seasons!
We're still on the air.
Wow!
How many people actually admit to watching Mad TV on the regular?
Honestly, I think I maybe watched like a few episodes, but infrequently.
I feel like they might have had some wrestling stars at one point or another.
Yeah. They had Bret Hart, Sting. Oh, God. Will Sasso did that weird crossover with Nitro once.
Yeah, that's okay. That's because I know that's where I knew Will Sasso from.
Yeah, Will Sasso did actually had him
because he used to do like a Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold impersonation as well.
Yeah, he was on there. Oh yeah, wow.
So yeah, that's kind of like the extent of my Matt TV knowledge.
So Matt TV actually had a few cast members go on to do other solid stuff. I mean, Phil Lamar is voice actor du jour.
Yeah, but I mean, how many comedy? Because he's Green Lantern,
and pretty much Will Sasso still managed to still. And then Will Sasso still has a consistent career. Nothing brilliant, but still he always has consistent gigs and so forth. And
like what?
He actually was in that very terrible Three Stooges movie.
But that's not a great thing to say. But
he gets work, and he still does, decent work. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he still does, still gets consistent gigs. So, I mean, I'm actually looking over the list to see. I'm actually looking at this list just to see if anyone else. Though, I just realized that Key and Peele from Comedy Central actually. One of the members got their start on freaking Mad TV. I was like, really? I had no idea. Son of a gun. Key and Peele got their start on Mad TV. I had no idea. Which goes to show you how few people actually watched Mad TV for a series that was on 14 seasons.
Aw, nobody cares about Mad TV.
Wow!
Moving on.
Yes, because we have nothing else.
We've now spent more time discussing Mad TV than I think the people on Mad TV have.
Yes, I think we probably could come.
Okay, then another sketch comedy show from the 90s that was a big jumping off point for a lot of time was In Living Color.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very much so.
That was such a cool show. That show had managed to do some really neat stuff.
It's one of those things you forget, like, not necessarily someone like Jim Carrey. Like, it's easy to remember Jim Carrey started because he was in it. But, like, Jamie Foxx.
Yes.
He's not, like, really known for being, like, a comedian now. He's a serious actor and occasional Kanye musician person. But, like, he was funny as hell.
And this is where Jennifer...
super homophobic in general, that show, but... It was pretty funny.
This is where Jennifer Lopez got her start as well, right?
Or yeah, she was one of the Fly Girls.
She was a Fly Girl with that ass.
Yes, and you mentioned Jim Carrey, which I'm sure we're not going to argue. He's the most popular thing to come out of this show.
I don't know. Has he won an Oscar yet?
I mean, that might be true, but I don't think
he should have by now.
But,
fucking
Eternal
Sunshine, you cocksuckers.
And it also kind of pretty much helped Fox with his television shows in the 90s. We got stuff like the Wayne's Brothers out of this, the Jamie Foxx show. I guess I should say UPN then.
Let's not throw blame left and right.
I enjoyed some of those shows.
The Wayne's Brothers.
Wayne Brothers.
So, look at what you're saying. We could directly thank In Living Color for the Scary Movie franchise.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh,
Yes, we can.
The Wayans made a lot of money off that.
Wayans brothers are there? It feels like there's 13. Are there 13?
Marlon, Sean, Keenan.
I think there's a lot of Wayans, but I don't think there is. I think, you know, like this because there's multiple generations as well.
There are 10. There are 10 siblings in their first generation. I'm going to list them. There's Dwayne Kim Wayans, Keenan Ivory Wayans, Damon Wayans, Kim Wayans, Sean Wayans, Marlon Wayans, Nadia Wayans, Elvira Wayans, Deidre Wayans, and Vonnie Wayans. And all of them are in some way, shape, or form involved in acting or comedy.
Well, this is whoever Mrs. Wayans is, like, not to sound rude, but no glove, no love, you know?
And what's crazy is how many of them have kids who are involved, too. Like, yeah, David Wayans, just David Wayans has four kids who are involved in acting.
I knew of David Wayans Jr., who looks just like his dad.
There's also Michael Wayans, Karamia Wayans, and Kyla Wayans. And then Elvira Wayans has Damian Wayans and Shantae Wayans. And then Deirdre Wayans has Craig Wayans, Greg Wayans, and Summer Wayans, who are all actors or models.
Okay.
That's
fucking goddamn.
You ever realize that rule of Hollywood, when you realize who someone's, and you go, and that's how they got in Hollywood. You see the Wayans thing. Yep. There you go.
Yeah, that's
how they got in.
The damn numbers game.
I was gonna say that's what Will Smith's gonna do with his kids.
That's what I was thinking.
Ready for that, man.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
For better or worse.
I mean, it's like, almost all of them in color, most of that cast is either, like, David Alan Greer still consistently works to this day, either as a character act, like, as a solid character actor in tons of movies. Tommy Davidson still has a stand-up career that he can just pretty much do stand-up anywhere because people remember in Living Color insanely well, so... Yeah, I mean, that's not a dang bad legacy. Fun fact: the girl who was in the last couple seasons, Alexandra Wentworth, went on to get married to George Stephanopoulos. That's got to be something to really make people go. The first time I saw her, I was like, "Wait, they're married to each other? Holy crap!" George Stephanopoulos, who hosts Good Morning America. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than, like, the cast members, is there anything you remember from this show? Like, they had some great characters, I think, that are still kind of... I don't know. It was kind of interesting, because I remember I got the season set, and this came out in, like, 2000 and something, and there was sketch making fun of George Bush, and It was so odd how much of it was just, like, modern-day George W. Bush at the same time. I'm like, yeah, it was a comedy that... still worked. It was still kind of fresh, I guess. I mean, everybody remembers, like, Fire Marshal Bill and Homie the Clown.
Yeah.
Which is still something I want to do for Halloween one year.
How many people are going to get it?
That's the thing. It's like, I do get to walk around smacking people with a sock saying, Homie, don't say that.
That would be pretty fresh.
That would be awesome. Also, I now need to make a point to go hunt down the episode of Living Color where Macho Man Randy Savage guest starred on it.
What was I watching the other day? Oh, I was watching Dexter's Lab.
Yes, Rockstar.
Yeah, he's the rest. Like, I was like, wait, what is this? I know. Holy shit, it's the Macho Man, but he wasn't doing the Macho Man voice. Like, he was talking normally, but you could tell it was him. Because he had that very specific diction and the accent and everything. It was crazy. Anyway, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's true, though, because I did not realize, like, Macho Man did a guest appearance on this show at one point. I'm like, oh my God, I need to hunt this down now.
Macho Man guest stars on it, because he was also on, I want to say, Dexter's Laboratory?
Dexter's Laboratory for Dial M for Monkey.
That's what I was just talking about.
And he was on...
He was Space Ghost.
Was he on Space Ghost?
He was Space Ghost. He played Space Ghost's grandpa. And he had a pension to go and say, I faced the American dream. Like, I'm not even going to try to attempt doing a Macho Man because I really can't do one.
Nobody can do Macho Justice.
But actually, Nicholas, you're probably one of the few people I know who can do a good Macho Man.
Yeah. Sorry, that's... As much as I can manage right now.
Yeah, but you're the only person I know who can actually make that work. If I try to, I'm okay, but on the fly, he was Grandpa, he was Space Ghost Grandpa, and he liked to talk about the American, and having matches with American Dream Dusty Rhodes, and come at people with steel chairs for no apparent reason.
He was on Duck Dodgers. Family Guy, King of the Hill. He got around.
Episode, idea for future episode, wrestlers who made notable guest appearances in TV.
It's going to be a USA Appreciation show or something.
Yeah.
They get her on the part of shows.
Or we could talk about the greatness that is the pilot that Roddy Piper and Jesse Ventura did for ABC. I think it was for ABC. Yeah, I think it was for ABC.
So,
Yeah, moving on.
I dived away from that fast.
Yes, another one that I think holds up to for everybody, the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
This is true.
The Muppet Show still holds up.
And the characters are still relevant. I don't really know if they have any breakouts. I mean, they're Muppets, but I guess that's, you have Kermit and Miss Piggy and Fozzie, and you have your core Muppets that everybody knows and loves and adores. And you had spinoffs, mm-hmm. and they're still going strong. They just had a popular movie a year and a half ago. Is there a sequel coming out next year, or?
Yep.
Yes.
Next year.
Tina Fey, actually, is in it.
Oh. Well, I mean, that makes sense, because there was everybody in the first one. Well, I mean, the most recent one. I just want to check in. Who's Trent?
What is it?
Did we use Trent?
He just doesn't care.
Well, I mean, like, I agree. Like, the Muppet Show is great, and if you were to watch the recent movie, like, you could watch it without knowing anything about the Muppets and enjoy it, but it's enriched by knowledge of the Muppet Show. But I don't really have that much to say about it.
Yeah, we did a whole Muppet episode, didn't we?
Yeah, that was the first episode I was on.
I guess to switch gears then, we'll ask Trent, what was a popular sketch comedy show in Canada?
Gee, I wonder which one.
Well, actually, like, SCTV was pretty popular. Yeah. It's definitely before my time, but anyone who watches SNL could see a lot of allusions to it, I guess. The thing from my time that I loved, and Lorne Michaels in Second City, the same people behind SNL during, since its inception, were behind something called The Kids in the Hall. And The Kids in the Hall was a TV show, but it was also a comedy troupe. And they're still together today, and they've released a number of movies and television specials since the original airing of the show. But the show was, I think, only like 5 or 6 seasons, mm-hmm. but they were glorious.
Oh, yeah.
I still look back and watch them, and I think to myself, like, it not only is still funny today, like, it still does hold up, but, like, it's almost like a period piece. Like, that was Canada in the mid-90s, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's probably my favorite sketch comedy show now that I think about it.
Not biased at all, because it's Canadian-centric.
Whatever. Y'all don't know. Well, we also had another sketch comedy show up here that lasted for a really long time called Royal Canadian Air Farce.
What?
And
never heard of that.
I don't explain. I've never heard of this.
Okay, Royal Canadian Air Farce. And there was also, there's another one too. It led to the spinoff, which is still on TV, which is the Rick Mercer Show. Rick Mercer is kind of like the Canadian Stephen Colbert. It's blowing your mind to find out about this, isn't it? Royal Canadian Air Farce was it was produced by CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Company, and it was essentially SNL, but it completely geared towards Canadian issues and politics and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know. It was unique. It was kind of low budget, but it was funny. And again, Rick Mercer is still on the air, and he still does kind of. He was the Stephen Colbert before there was Stephen Colbert. So we actually have age on you in that respect.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
But it's also like it really is like Canadian kind of humor. Like, I'm not sure a lot of you guys would get it. Not because you're dumb, because just because, like, it is predicated on a lot of Canadian stuff, and it makes fun of Canadian culture, but it doesn't do it in the mean way that Americans do. I don't know if you guys realize it, but, Like, and I'm not talking about, like, you the people. I'm talking about, like, you the media stations. Like, whenever NBC or ABC or CBS or Spike or Comedy Central decide to portray Canadians, it is completely, completely abrasive. It's so douchey, though. That's the thing. It's not even like, haha, Canadians are nice and they say A in a boots, which we don't. It really is trying to portray us as, like, so nice that we're derpy. And I've never met a Canadian that's appreciated the way that our whole society is portrayed in your media. We see it because we get the same media as you, but,
I would say, to be fair, it doesn't seem like a lot of people are happy with how we portrayed him.
I'd be curious, this is actually something a little random, but, like when you guys see, like, say how South Park handles Canada.
Oh, God. That's kind of funny, just because, like, it's so hyperbolic, but, I don't know, that is actually, I think the perfect example is, like, How I Met Your Mother. Like, Canadians love How I Met Your Mother, we're there in the ratings, we watch it every week, but the way that Barney Stinson talks about the country, and the way that Robin, whose actress is from British Columbia, like, she's a Canadian actress, the way that she also portrays Canada, like the Beaver song and Robin Sparkles. And I know it's funny, but it's also kind of douchey because, like, that's not Canada. You guys get such a skewed view of what we are, and we're exactly like you, except not quite as fat.
I
like how he goes on this huge rant about how we portray Canadians wrong and sort of dig at Americans.
Hey,
guys, we're all thrilling hockey.
The fact that you guys are fatter than we are. You don't have statistics to back up the fact that we say a boot.
Right? You're all just beer swilling, hockey loving socialists, except for people from Quebec.
We are though. Here's the thing. We do love beer, and we do love hockey, and we have a lot of socialist systems, but we have no more socialist systems than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Our beer
so
is just...
You have the better one. I am a fan of Canada. You have everything I like.
You know what? It's weird, because a lot of the things that you guys have, you would never believe are actually Canadian. We invented basketball, for instance.
It's true.
Yeah. We invented the foghorn. We invented a whole bunch of crap that you guys decided to co-op. And now you make fun of us for being a backwards country.
That's the American way. Find someone else who did something really well and then take it from them and make fun of them.
Well, I'm glad you're aware. You're free to visit, but we don't want any of you to stay.
Actually, my drummer's not allowed in Canada. So anyone hoping for a Robots and Race Cars tour of Canada is not going to happen. For reasons.
What did he do? There are very few things that we would advise people not to pay for. There's very few things.
I would rather not tell the story, since it is not my place to tell it.
Uh-oh.
It was not what I was around for.
Anyway, I say these things in jest. I mean, the long and the short is, like, you guys get portrayed by the British people as being really dumb, too. So
the sketch comedy of Britain.
Like, by ourselves is being really dumb.
I know, like, the media does make fools of us all, but it is kind of a sticking point. I mean, like, it's like, I don't think Americans really get how much it bothers us when you start making comments about how all we play is hockey, or, you know, all we drink is beer, and we go to every Tim Hortons, and a lot of us don't like Tim Hortons, by the way. Surprise. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, it's like this weird portrayal of us. But, there's a whole bunch of media that we're privy to that you guys aren't, but it's weird because we get all of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, your stuff is good, and we just decided to watch it.
You're like the weird, like, it's almost, it's not quite British, but it's almost British. That, like, we get it, like, a few years later. Like, Slings and Arrows.
Yes, we are still
that show was awesome, and I had no idea it existed until 2 years ago.
Which show is this?
Slings and Arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show is great.
I mean, and this is the thing, like, most Canadian media, like, stuff that's actually made in Canada for Canadians kind of sucks, to be quite frank. Like, but, like, we still get all your stuff. So, like, that's the weird thing. Like, I
feel like a lot of these American production houses that make a lot of derivative and kind of negative comments about Canadians and Canada don't realize that we get all that crap. Like, it hits our television sets the same time it hits yours. That was my rant for the night. I'm sorry, guys.
No, I mean, you
hey, everyone
record
gets
it
one.
Next time.
there's one other, I think there's one particular one. I'm surprised. Did any of you guys ever watch The State on MTV in the early 90s?
Hell yeah!
I figured you did. Someone else had to watch it outside of my
fucking right.
My cousin.
I love The State. I love that show. Me and my friend used to just walk around just yelling, I'm going to dip my balls in it.
Yes! Yes!
I have no idea.
My name is Doug, and I'm out of here.
This is
we didn't get MTV until 2007, and we were okay with that.
We also have the same friends.
Oh, by the way, guys,
hey.
In Canada, we have much music, and much music continues to play music videos all day long.
We actually got much music here in the U.S. for a period of time, and then it became Fuse, and now it kind of sucks.
Weird.
But we had much music here for a period, and it was awesome.
That's the weirdest thing, because, like, you're on the internet, and I hear from so many people, like, I remember back when MTV played music videos, and that's never been a thing for us, because as soon as we got MTV, like, it was like Tila Tequila, and, like, it was nothing but reality shows. So for us, music videos have always been on much, and we've always had them.
I remember, it's funny, when I first discovered much TV, when they first started airing here, we actually got the general Canadian broadcast of it. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty slick.
This is really cool. And then, like I said, then it's like, well, we're going to make it Fuse now and instantly suck in 5 seconds. But that was fun for that, like, couple years we had, like, the unfiltered Canadian much music here. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it kind of sucks now, but I don't know. Maybe that's just because I'm getting older.
Yeah.
It's kind of a generational thing, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's like anything. I mean, it's like how, anything like, say, Saturday Night Live, it's like, well, it's a whole generational thing, too. I mean, a lot of us were like, well, the 90s were awesome for SNL when they had.
Well, and this is the weird thing. I feel like anytime the economy goes through a recession, SNL is really good.
Yeah.
And then it just sucks for a while, and then it gets really good again.
That seems to be the rule, actually, of SNL. It's like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. And
just bring us back on the topic.
The reason why I kind of want to mention the state a little bit is that a good chunk of that cast has gone on to some killer freaking careers. Michael Ian Black still has a consistent career doing anything. Freaking Thomas Lennon has co-wrote a book about how to make money for fun for profit. And the guy wrote Night at the Freaking Museum and tons of other ridiculously profitable movies. Because
you're not saying that they're good, though.
Yeah, he actually admits it himself in the book. I was reading a little bit of it, but he says, I write this book. Because he actually has this, like, how to write
movies. It's Thomas Lennon and Ben Grant is the other guy.
Yeah, Ben Grant, yeah, they're all on the stage. And they both said, yeah, we wrote this book to teach you how to write movies for a profit. we make no illusions about this. We've made a lot of money. Some of these movies might not be some of your favorites, but they made us money. And here's how we did it. Wow. You are awesome. Blunt as hell, but awesome. And awesome. And it always amazes me because I remember when I first started seeing these guys pop up on stuff, I was like, son of a gun, these are the guys from the state. And I always remember it very well. That one, I always realize where I get my oddball sense of humor from sometimes when I preach it. I'm like, I grew up in the early 90s, right? Yep. And that's where it all makes sense. Because the early 90s were an interesting period for TV.
Well, I think every period's an interesting period for...
Especially the early 90s, because we got some weird shit.
I think this...
weird shit, though.
I think there's a sketch comedy that's often forgotten about, though. I'm not bringing up The Granddaddy, which we could discuss at the end. But it's one that was not widely seen because it was on HBO, and they tended to, like, at that point, this was pre-Sopranos, they would just toss some shit on the air and just kind of move it around whatever they felt like. So Mr. Show with Bob and David.
I knew it!
I thought you were going to say The Whitest Kids You Know.
No, fuck that show. I don't like
I tried.
Mr. Show, the number of people who were on that show who have gone on to bigger things, again, you know, David Cross and Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
David Cross more so than Bob Odenkirk, but they're pretty big names in terms of, like, comedy. Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob, was on it.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Black showed up a lot. Patton Oswalt, Paul F. Tompkins. Scott Aukerman, who's the host of Comedy Bang Bang, and is fucking hilarious in and of himself. He was a writer on it. They had, what's her face? Mary Lynn Raskob. She was on 24.
Oh, yeah.
She's on Arrested Development season 4.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Silverman's been in it. The guys from Tool, the band, showed up on it a couple times.
Wow.
It was basically, like, alt comedy. Like, that's a snapshot of, like, that point in time. Mr. Show, Bob and Dave. Like, all the people who were, like, alt comedy, alt comedians or involved in that scene who have gone on to be huge were all on this show. Brian Posehn, that's the one I was thinking of. He was on that all the time.
Yeah.
No, that show was... I love that show. That show was fucking great. And that actually was a stylistically a descendant of who I really wanted to talk about. If you guys
go for it.
Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yes, baby.
Everybody, like, I don't care who the fuck you are. If you like sketch comedy, there's no way you could ignore that show.
My another influence, like, it's really weird to me. Like, when you're around certain, when you find certain like-minded people, and you kind of start, and you suddenly start realizing, okay, what shows you kind of start, like as you got, as you're right at that right impressionable age of, like, just in your teenager, what show you start watching? Oh, I start watching Monty Python. Yep. It's like we're a lot of us in, like, a certain section. All of us started watching Monty Python right around the same time frame, and we've all been influenced to it to this very day. I mean, good Lord, that freaking cast! It's like John Cleese, Michael Palin. Oh, jeez, Eric Idle.
Yes, they wrote it.
They wrote it. I mean, the cast.
It was just them.
It was them.
They what is, it was the BBC said, hey. Said to John Cleese, hey, we want to do a show with you and a couple other guys. He's like, sure, but can I bring other people in? He's like, yeah, why the fuck not? And basically just let them do whatever they wanted. Like, they had no idea what they were going to get out of them. And they freely admit to taking to being influenced by stuff like The Goon Show and Spike Milligan and earlier British sketch comedy, but that was more radio stuff. And they had the visual element, which was a lot of it was brought in through Terry Gilliam's animations and stuff. But their main, I don't want to say contribution, but, like, the big genius moment for them was when they just said, why do we always have to have a punchline? Why do we have to have a sketch that has a beginning, middle, and punchline out?
No.
You could just get to the funny part and then go do something else. Hey, we're bored with this. I'm going to have the army commander come in and say it's silly and we'll just do something else instead.
Or just randomly say, get on with it!
Yeah.
Next thing.
Like, that's the importance of that, and the fact that it was very, very specifically written to be intelligent and not just goofy jokes. The impact of that, the influence of that on sketch comedy as a whole can never be underestimated.
You can pretty much rewatch a Monty Python episode over and over again and still find something to catch your eye or something to go, damn, I never caught that before. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love Monty Python. I think, like, more so than, like, you know, just, like, the normal teenage boy. Oh, I love it! Like, I like the weirder shit from it. Like, the one sketch I always say is my favorite, and some people look at me weird, is the exploding penguin on the top of the television set.
Oh, God, that was glorious.
I love that sketch so goddamn much.
Glorious.
First or the summarized Proust competition.
I always say it's like one of... It's like that I always... The certain sketches, like, of course, there's the classic, like, the dead parrot. That's still, like, one of the most glorious of those crazy sketches that, like, Night of the Dead and Monty Python, you're end up going to hear probably dead parrot, probably albatross, people, because, like, Michael Palin, because through Michael Palin, I actually got to discover some of the best documentary sets I've ever seen. You ever watch some of Michael Palin's documentaries? Like, his adventures across the world?
Yes. Actually, have you ever seen Terry Jones's documentaries?
Yes!
Oh, like, those are crazy, awesome. Yeah, the crazy British history stuff. Yeah, I like Michael Palin, I like the Terry Jones stuff more.
Terry Jones is just, he's nuts. But he's awesome. I stumbled upon one of those on, I think it was History Channel. That they put on. I watched it. It's like, okay, let's check. Oh, this is awesome. And it was like that. And I remember playing the Monty Python video games they had at one point, that seventh level did. Those were gloriously so. Like, let's make a game of sorts and mix in clips of the movie and sometimes put in stuff that they never put on anything else at the period and just put it in the game. Like, and it is the weirdest little hybrid, but oddly fun in its own right, too.
I'm going to kill my dog.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to murder my dog. And I don't mean with a gun. I mean, like, wrestling shoot murder.
Okay.
Oh, my, that was...
She's been barking, like, her head off for the past hour, and I don't know why. There's nobody up there. I'm the only person in this house.
Maybe it is ghost.
Don't say that.
Okay. Let's kind of get some crappy ones out of the way. I mean, I guess not
why
crappy,
we,
but
why? Why do we have to?
I just wanted to bring these up. I don't. I don't necessarily.
Good
I don't
so far, Earl.
That's not out of our system. That's not. Let's move on to some other better things. Hey, I got a better idea. What a sketch comedy show on right now that you enjoy? Because I can think of two off the top of my head right now. So what's one that's out right now that's on air?
I'm not watching it regularly right now, but I'm trying.
Well, it's not necessarily airing at this very minute, but that has been recent.
The only one I know that's airing right. I mean, most of the ones I know I don't watch at Key and Peele.
Mm-hmm.
Because Comedy Central introduces a lot of them, and they don't seem to ask. They did Crank Anchors. We haven't talked about the Chappelle Show, which is the inspiration for this episode,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great one. I was just a little sad that I had to go to that show during college because nothing sucked more than that Thursday morning after a new episode aired and everybody quoted it.
Everybody just yelling the N-word like it ain't no thing.
God,
yeah.
Lord. That show has still some of the most glorious quotes that to this very day.
I'm not going to lie. I still yell fuck your couch at people. But
yeah, I was about to say, that's the one my friends always shout.
That's my favorite line of the entire series. Just fuck your couch for no reason. Like, that is just ridiculously weird.
My favorite is hate, hate, hate.
Oh, I also like that one. Actually, his exit from that sketch is hilarious. Especially it was an outtake when he goes, I wish ill on you, Ice Tea. Like, that is the most cold-blooded thing to say to someone. I wish ill on you.
See, my favorite moment from that show is he was talking about the I'm a pee on you song, the cover.
Oh, yes.
He was talking about the cover of R. Kelly. Yeah. And he's like, R. Kelly comes up to me. He's like, man, how are you going to make a song about me peeing on someone? And then Jamal's like, how are you going to make a song about you peeing on someone?
I think it was a video, because that was during his... Jay is one of Jay.
Yeah, I can't... There's so many different... We could quote that show for the rest of...
I really like Prince Sketch, too. I would even say I like Prince Sketch more than I do the Rick James sketch. As funny as Rick James is, it's kind of been overplayed by this point.
Well, it's not only even that. It's that the Rick James sketch at his heart is kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the real Rick James there, making it, like, talking about it. Like, oh, yeah, I don't... What is putting your couch, putting your feet on... That's the thing, the old ones... What are you talking about, putting feet on couches? Yeah, I remember putting my feet on Charlie Murphy's couch. Was, what the fuck?
I always
like that. It's like that little like 10-second pause. It's not even like a pregnant pause. Not even like he's thinking about it. He's just like he says a thing. A brief pause completely contradicts it.
And of course everyone ends. There's always the the craziness of the Wayne Brady sketch is still one. It's still glorious. Of Wayne Brady's like, they all think I'm so nice, and like, hey Dave, how you like that? PCP. I'm like, oh my.
That was one of the things where at the time I didn't get it, and then I realized, like, after I saw the movie, he's just doing Training Day.
Yeah, it's awesome. And also shows how, and one of the things where Dave Chappelle's show is just so gloriously subversive, and like, while also doing just some of the craziest stuff they could do, and Comedy Central is just going, and like for the first couple years, I mean, that was some cool stuff, and even the last bit he filmed before, he left, was still pretty decent, but I always like, I actually like the racial draft.
Yes.
And China has just taken the Wu-Tang Clan! And I went,
It's even related to that with the Wu-Tang Clan. It's like, you gotta diversify your bonds, yo.
Is that the Restoration one?
They say it's the Wu-Tang Financial, and then they come back to it during the racial draft.
Yes, thank you for reminding me of that. Oh god, I need to rewatch the Chappelle show again, because I haven't watched that in ever. I think we should talk about some of the. I get the feeling I'm gonna lose parts of the audience here, but screw it. I know, but people at least heard them enough of it. There's also the classic, the Carol Burnett show, which is by the way, if any of you out there have never watched at least a little Carol Burnett show in your life, please watch some of that, because there is some glorious stuff there.
Oh yeah, the stuff like that helped establish the form that Saturday Night Live would build off of.
That's why I kind of Laughing. I recommend definitely find some Laughing, because a lot of that stuff's still pretty.
Laughing's pretty funny. It's very dated though.
Dated in parts, but in other parts, some of the stuff that still isn't as badly dated is still pretty solid. But Carol Burnett's more timeless.
I do love that we've gotten completely off my original challenge.
I don't watch enough regular sitch comedy. That's why it's hard for me to really.
Well, I'm kind of curious to hear Nick's answer now.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I have two of them. It's Portlandia. Portlandia's great.
Yes, thank you. I always forget that actually Portlandia.
I thought that was a show.
What?
I always said it was a show.
No, it's a sketch show. Do you actually watch it? They play different characters, and they wander around in these little sketches. It's not like a beginning. It's not like a Saturday Night Live sketch show. It is more like the Mr. Show or Monty Python one, where it's just the stuff blends right into each other, and there's kind of a continuing theme, and some of the characters carry over. But it is very much a sketch show.
Perfect.
And also,
second one.
Also, Comedy Bang Bang.
I have not watched that yet.
They're filming the second season, or they're editing the second season now. It's one of my favorite podcasts, so I was going to be probably like the show regardless. But they just, instead of just doing the podcast as a show, they went completely out of their fucking minds and made a sketch show out of it with some crazy shit. The premise of one episode is that they do the entire show as a green screen with people standing in, and then they just fill in the host and everybody over it with CGI later. So occasionally someone knocks into the green screen switch, and you just see a bunch of people in green costumes moving around.
That's cool. It's
fucking hysterical.
I'm watching this now. Dude, Nick, I'm watching this now.
First season's on Netflix. I would highly recommend it. It's only 10 episodes, and it's really funny. They always have really good guests on it. It's really funny.
I like the podcast, and I like the Airwolf Network. They have some great shows, if you want
The characters from the podcast show up on the show. So, Paul F. Tompkins shows up as Cake Boss. It's great.
And also, going to Portlandia a second, my first episode I ended up watching Portlandia was the Battlestar Galactica one.
I have not seen that one.
That is a pretty glorious little episode. In which they're like, we need to make more Battlestar Galactica. It's like, oh god. And yeah, that was like the first episode I watched, and then I realized that I also like Kyle MacLachlan, and I realized, wait, Kyle MacLachlan has a regular role on this series? Okay, I need to watch this show now. Because Kyle MacLachlan's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
And now, this is a weird one. Like, it's one show I never would have thought about, but, like, when we were kids, we were just out of that, like, kid, but just out of that range of, like when Roundhouse was starting to air on Nickelodeon, all that stuff. Like, some of that stuff, I'm like, I was just right around the age for the first season of all that. I was right around the age for Roundhouse. Now, any other sketch show they did after that, like, whoosh,
I was going to bring up all that because it did kind of have this Nick and Dick. That's kind of where we got Keenan and Kel.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got Drake and Josh. Well, actually, I think Drake and Josh came from like the Amanda Show, which is a spinoff of the...
Amanda's a special hero right now.
Yeah, Uri Beth Denberg became a fixture on the Steve Harvey Show. Mm-hmm. Nick's dog is going insane.
Yeah, oh my god, I'm going to...
Subtitle for this episode, Nick's dog is going insane.
I still don't know what she's barking at.
Yeah, but all that was
kind of... She probably hears me talking down here and just thinks it's some like other people.
But I mean, it's so neat to see Kenan Thompson on Saturday Night Live. I just go, that is so cool that he is on there.
And motherfucker's been on there forever now, too.
And I love that. It's one of those things where you go, that is so cool. Well done, man. They're actually working. I know supposedly they're supposed to be working on a sitcom for him to have something to do on there. So I'm going, please let it not suck.
Yeah, let's not talk about the other alum who's been in the news lately.
Yeah, she's special.
She lost her damn fool mind.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I guess that's just because she retired from acting. And she's like, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna go crazy. But okay, we're not talking about her.
Okay, I'm gonna hit the Wayback Machine again for five. Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. I've seen little bits and pieces. I've not really watched like entire episodes because, well, I've only seen clips because I found them on YouTube, but I've seen bits and pieces off of other shows and some other things of that nature, and I remember, and I recently saw the Who clip of when they had the Who on their TV series, and the Who got banned for life on TV.
Oh, is that when Keith Moon put the explosives in the drums?
Yeah.
She actually literally blew out Pete Townsend's eardrums and, like, caused tinnitus for the rest of his life.
And CBS said, nope, you're banned. No way. No. Smothers Brothers was actually the fifth I've seen, because like Steve Martin even worked on that show doing writing. Lorne Michaels worked on that show during writing. I mean, it's one of those shows where you go, damn. And it didn't last that long on CBS. It was still popular, but CBS was kind of like, it was a little too politically challenging for them during the period. So yeah, I mean, that's another, I mean, if I'm mentioning the Wayback shows, I'm going way back there, there's tons, I mean, I look over the list on Wikipedia, and there's so many shows that I'm actually amazed, I'm like, I actually watched this at one point. I don't think anyone remembers The Edge.
Yes.
You remember it. Okay, because I watched that.
Didn't I mention it earlier? I thought I did.
You mentioned Ben Stiller. I didn't mean...
Oh, that was one, yeah.
Yeah, Ben Stiller was the...
Ben Stiller's show was good.
That was awesome. The Edge was kind of like lost to time, and it was okay. It wasn't too bad. Ben Stiller was that. The show that still managed to pop on from time to time. One of my... Because how I got to see some of this stuff was thanks to when Trio used to do The Brilliant But Canceled. And they would air all this stuff, and one of them was the Ben Stiller show. That's That was one of the first times I got to watch it.
Okay. Are there any other shows you want to talk about? Well, I mean, again, hey, comedy. I'm looking at this season. Comedy Central has gone through a lot of them.
Good God, Chuck, yes.
Chuckett News. What is it? The Selva Silverman Experiment.
Yeah.
They did. They have Key and Peele now. They had the Chappelle Show. They had. They had the Carlos Mencia Show.
Yeah.
Crank Anchors.
Yep. Crank Anchors. I some of this stuff. I mean, I didn't realize Andy Dick actually had a sketch comedy series.
I think what happens a lot of people, cause, I mean, we haven't even mentioned like the Dana Carvey Show. It's like a lot of people just think they have the comedic chops to hold up a show, and I don't think a lot of them have that range.
Dana Carvey had like that one that it was like funny, but Dana Carvey on his show, he had Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, good Lord, the writing team had Louis C.K. and
Robert Smigel,
and Charlie Kaufman, and
Kaufman. That's the weird one.
Really? It's like really weird when you see some of these shows, and you're like, they were really. But my funniest one recently, finding out, one of my friends told me that Louis C.K. was actually involved with Pootie Tang.
Dude, he directed it,
and I never realized it.
Oh yeah,
I did not know this until a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "Really? Wow! I had no idea."
Oh, we also did mention Kids in the Hall.
Did we?
We did.
Yeah, Trent.
I thought he mentioned SCTV.
He mentioned SCTV and Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, we had a conversation about it.
Goodness gracious! Pay attention, Earl.
I'm sorry. Okay, what about Uptight Citizens Brigade?
I mean, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Upright.
Yeah, that's a pretty good show. That actually, that's more known now for the improv houses. I don't know what you would call them. Improv theaters, studios, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They run on the East and the West Coast that a lot of the current comedy darlings came from. But yeah, those people in that show went on to do big things. I mean, Amy Poehler, shit.
Yeah, one of the best comedies on TV right now.
I just realized something, that USA Up All Night was technically considered a sketch show.
For some reason, I think that cheesy show that used to have like Elvira or something.
I wasn't looking at a sketch show, but...
No, what was USA Up All Night?
USA Up All Night was the one that had Gilbert Gottfried and... only reason why I remember it, because anytime you were on, if you basically ended up being up at like up late at night, suddenly you'd be like, oh, well, there's Up All Night, and you just watch some random Up All Night for a little bit, and then you go, okay, this was odd.
Yeah, it sounds like I think this show they probably used to advertise it there on Raw.
During the period where USA for like again the early 90s were the late 80s and the early 90s was a gloriously weird period for TV, because just the stuff they would throw going, will this work? Yes, that works. Will that work? Nope, that lasts about 6 episodes.
And as Nick just pointed out, Naughty just kind of have one format that they use for every show, where they kind of have like that. It's basically Buddy Cop the network.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. I don't need to go off about it again. I didn't.
No. I still think we should do an episode on it, but neither here nor there.
We have like a ton of stuff we should do. I think the neat thing about looking at a sketch comedy is like the amount of stuff that like Whose Line Is It Anyway is about to get renewed. It's gonna be doing a new run. Isn't it next couple weeks?
And I think an Even Cut is coming back as well.
Oh, they were, but they can't. I just read they actually were. They actually like they decided, yeah, we don't know what to do with this. Because Fox right now is, I don't know, I hope they end up, because I wouldn't mind seeing, like, In Living Color and just, like, a one short run. Just little something. But, yeah, I think it's, July 16th is when Whose Line Is It Anyway starts back up on the CW. Hosted by Aisha Tyler now. Because
yes.
Because Drew Carey's busy. Because Drew Carey's busy doing Price Is Right.
I thought you were going to say something else, but yeah, Aisha Tyler's awesome.
Aisha Tyler's awesome, and I'm like, that's good. That's fine. I'm definitely more than happy to have her hosting.
It's just really weird because those dudes are ancient now. But I guess
Wayne Brady is still. It's like adding gigs to his. It's like Wayne Brady now. It's like Las Vegas show. Let's does make he, a deal, and who's lying?
Does I say, does he still host that?
Yeah, he still hosts it. Wayne Brady, it's like, let's make a deal is his, well, I'll film a bunch of this in a row and keep doing my Las Vegas show. Awesome.
Yep.
Okay, but is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
No, I think we're good.
If anyone, okay. Unless anyone wants to bring up I'm going to do a quick blast of really random sketch comedy for like 1 second. Out of Control by Dave with Dave Coulier on it. Hey Vern, It's Ernest. Hee Haw. Red Skelton Show. Let's see. Sesame Street's technically considered sketch comedy. I did not realize that. Super Dave. And let's see if I can find one.
Dave. Ugh. Those are all just American stuff too.
And let's see, one other weird one I can just throw out.
There is another sketch comedy show that's Canadian that I forgot to mention earlier.
What
it's
is
called
it?
The Ray Green Show.
What is it?
The Ray Green Show. We mentioned
it. We talked about
it a couple podcasts ago.
I used to love the hell out of that show as a kid. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, The Dread Green Show. That show holds so many memories for me. Where I learned the awesomeness of duct tape.
It's pretty wicked.
And one more random little show, Fridays, the show that had an early Michael Richards on it. And also Andy Kaufman popped up for an infamous episode that was chronicled in the movie Man on the Moon. That was chronicled on there. Not enough time to really dive into the whole incident here, but yeah, it was a crazy incident. And Andy Kaufman was an insane mad genius. And also kind of insane.
Okay.
Genius.
Insane geniuses. What did they say? The line between genius and insanity is very thin or something like that. But anyhow, let's move on to we forgot pole position this week.
In the danger zone. Pretty soon they'll be off on a mission.
Hydrofoil mode, Rhodey.
But that was last week's poll was favorite Superman movie, and Superman 2 ran away with that, followed by Superman the movie, and then the rest thought whatever. This week's poll.
I didn't vote in that.
Are you against it?
I just think they haven't gotten Superman right in movies yet.
Have you seen Man of Steel yet?
Nope, and I want to, but from what I'm hearing, they still haven't gotten Superman right in movies yet.
I liked it.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
This weekend.
We're not going to talk about spoilers.
I'm just saying I liked it. I liked the movie.
Yeah, there's a show going up this week before this, actually, so by the time this is up, you can listen to it. The Man of Steel cast for The Man of Steel is up, and we have other people, and we're kind of, you know, it's a very spit movie. You either love it or hate it.
It's an understatement, dude.
Well, I think, it's almost a 50% of Rotten Tomatoes, which really means it's right in the middle.
Sometimes it gets downright violent into some of these opinions.
Well, that's fandom. Fandoms are scary faces.
Oh, my
but
God.
That's a topic for another day that we won't do here. This week's poll, I should say, is on favorite Pixar movie. Right now, it is a tie between The Incredibles and WALL-E with Toy Story.
I can't really boo that. I like all those movies, but no, I didn't vote for either of them.
as long as Cars and Cars 2 isn't winning.
That is true. It was really a toss-up for me. I was like, do I say Wally, Up, or The Incredibles? And I went with Up, because that's the one I felt in my heart was my favorite.
And I went with The Incredibles, because superheroes. That brings us to Batman Versus, and this week...
Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Because originally we were supposed to do it, we were doing a Pixar episode, people suggested Pixar characters, and we're going to go with Pixar, we're going to go with Batman versus Buzz Lightyear.
Batman.
Well, I mean, how?
Because, and I'll tell you why, because Batman's not made of plastic. Buzz Lightyear is the size of a toy, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean,
so Batman will step on him, and he will not be a toy anymore. He will be ex-Buzz Lightyear. He will be joining the choir invisible. He will be bleeding deceased.
Okay. I guess that's that. We'll be back next week with hopefully a episode dedicated to something that we want to talk about, because at this point we just kind of winged it. So for Trent, who's somewhere in the background,
I'm here.
Somewhere, Trent.
Next week we're gonna have Trent host the episode just so he talks more.
I don't know as much about this sort of thing as you guys do, I guess.
Well, I mean, do you get like SNL and stuff like that up in Canada?
Yes, of course we do.
I'm just asking because I assume you don't get everything we get on TV.
We get a lot of it.
You also kind of have to realize, Trent, I know a lot about everything.
You do. And when you start talking, I just want to let you go.
And I know a decent... I've been scanned. I think my knowledge base is a little bit... is like, I know I've watched a lot of documentaries on this stuff, but sometimes there's certain stuff, I'll just go, Nicholas, go. Because sometimes, like, our information crosses streams, or sometimes I remember something a little bit wrong, and I'm happy to have you here, Nicholas, a lot, because sometimes you remember stuff that somehow got lost in the midst of all my other stuff that gets absorbed in my head.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, for Trent, Nicholas, Wesley, and myself, this has been Northern Rocks, episode 136. We'll see you next week.
How you living? What? How you living? What? How you living?
In living color.
You can't do what you want.
Trip and sip on a dream. Glide with the guide on a funky scene. Here comes another one of those funky, funny, more money shows. A cast for laughs, but talented bros and sisters with twists for you, the looking listener. It seems you don't believe, so you believe what I convince you. So put it to your short and thought, we'll make it snappy. With jokes and folks and folks to keep you happy. No need to hold your remote control. Chill. This show got soul. All aboard, all aboard. The train up a chuckle. You better snuggle up, couple up, while the double up. No, yeah. It's hard to believe, but some of the best things in life are free. So fellas, grab your girl. Tell her that you love her. Cause that's the way you're living when you're living and living in color. Go, 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 go